our calling and who are we called to? I kind of wanted to add on, and how on earth are we going to get there? But that didn't really fit onto that wee box. Than another, which was something that Darren said to us as well on Thursday night. So those of you who come from QP know, because I think I probably go on about it quite a lot, that part of my vision and calling, which I don't think was really part of my job description, I think it kind of came with the person rather than with the piece of paper of job requirement, was to encourage, to model, and to train other families to look at their interdependence with the other generations. We, I believe, were created by God not to be self-sufficient, for children not to be self-sufficient and independent, for teenagers, so can you hear me on this, teenagers, not to be self-sufficient and independent, the same for 20s, 30s, 40s, single, married, every kind of status you can think of. I believe God designed us to be dependent on one another. But unfortunately, I mean, the fact that you're here today probably means you will actually agree with this. We've become a nation that is fragmented, that is boxed and set separately in almost every area of life. From the minute your child hits 3, or even 2.5 if you use a playgroup, we're about separating. I'm not kind of knocking anything about early years education, but we do want to kind of box our children into places. And I think also, sadly, that can happen too for the older generation as well, that people are looked upon as, well, where can I arrange to put them at a certain point of their life or health or well-being? And I think there is something from the Old Testament and other cultures' models of interdependence of generations that we need to learn from. I was thinking about the idea of the generations being fractured. It was a word that I had read, and I thought that was quite a strong word to use about us. We're thinking about a wee bit about evangelism this morning, thinking about us as fractured. And I thought that was, it felt quite a harsh word in a way. But actually, for those of us who are familiar with Scotland, we only need to look at some of the things that are going on. I do read a news, a fairly decent, she says, sounding classy, newspaper every day. I taught modern studies for 10 years, so I kind of always feel I need to keep up with politics and with current affairs. But I also think it's part as well of my need, my calling, to just be aware of things that are happening in my culture. And you probably know that there's been, for quite a few years, probably Bert and Ruth will know this very well, there's been a lot of banging on about youth crime and youth delinquency. And Cathy Jamieson, who now is the deputy leader, but when she was justice minister, there were all kinds of strategies to cut youth crime. Money was poured in. And yet, the latest year I got figures for, in 2002, despite millions of pounds being poured in to different models of helping families. And incidentally, I was trained by the government in one of them, which is Triple P Positive Parenting Programme, which I run a couple of times a year. I've got a group on just now. Despite all these interventions, youth crime actually increased by 16%. So in some ways, if the government had actually done nothing, maybe it would, you know, would have just been the same or not been as bad. But in other words, there is a breakdown. I hesitated about saying this because I thought it was going to sound like a Tory. There's a breakdown in family relationships. Oh, I'm agreeing with Ian Duncan Smith. Or even worse, I'm agreeing with our friend that cycles with the nice hair. But actually, it's true, guys, that we as families have an amazing privilege to be power in society, by being functional, by exhibiting restoration and forgiveness and healing and loving one another in our families. We might say that only is power, But that makes it sound like it's not that important. That is power, not that only is power. And I actually do believe that there would be lower rates of offending and lower rates of people in prison and lower rates of addiction if our generations saw more of the restoration and the healing that comes from God. So secular opinion is that young people, I'm kind of forgetting I've got this here, that young people benefit from positive relationships with older people, from grannies and grandpas, from aunts and uncles. Hey, but guess what? It's not actually, this research I read, it's not just the bloodline relationships. It's having an interested adult. So we are sitting in a place, the building's not special, but we're sitting as a fellowship of believers who can give that. So if you look around just now, there are children here, okay, in this room, and adults, and people in their 40s, 50s, who haven't got one of the lines that I might mention. They maybe haven't got a grandparent, or haven't got a brother, sister, an aunt, uncle, or dad. And when you look at one another, you can bring healing to the generation beside you, literally beside you, even though it might be somebody you feel that you don't know just now. God wants to bless the generations. They were intended for blessing. And I kind of really want to jump up and down about this, not cursing. Generations are intended for blessing. God said it first before the experts said, let's see, you know, relationships restored in families. I read that kind of terminology in a government report. I'm like, yes, that's what God says. Let's see relationships restored. Okay, look at what Mary said. Could I have the monitors on, please? Or the monitors seem to be off, so it's meaning I'm having to turn around. Thank you. Mary said that God's mercy, her father's mercy, is on those that fear him from generation to generation. How many of us want God's mercy shown in our children? Can we be a bit active about this? Who wants God's mercy to be shown on our children? Okay, the words given in the Old Testament, but for the people of God, so therefore for us today, are that God shows love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. I'm studying the Old Testament just now at Bible College, and I just love learning. I kind of knew it anyway, but I love learning it in a more academic setting, that anything that God said in the Old Testament has a, not just important, a vital principle for us who are the people of God today. God wants to bless the generations, but it comes through obedience, guys. And Daphne's going to speak a wee bit later on this morning about repentance and reconciliation and forgiveness. Obedience means we will be blessed. I love a greeting that a few of my friends give, and I know Daphne and Darren give it quite a lot. They say, be blessed. Something you guys say as a greeting, and other people I know do as well. I love that because it is a farewell or a greeting, but it's putting that word into action from Exodus 20. Be blessed. It's like they say, walk in your calling. So a wee thought about what kind of society we live in. We're going to be thinking about how stuff out there, but we think about the society in which we live. What's it marked by? Okay, because that's where our family's been called. Now, there are people here who might say, no, Len, actually, I've been called to Bosnia, or I've been called to whatever. So if you have a specific calling to a country, I know that you won't mind me kind of saying this, but for lots of us at the moment, we're called to where we are just now. So what is it actually like? Our society is this. I meant to put animation on and I forgot, so never mind. Our society is marked by postmodernism. And what this actually means, and I think this is actually important for us to hear if we've not heard the term before, it means that there's an absence of absolute truth. People, it's not that so much that they don't accept absolute truth, it's the fact that they say, so what? If you can almost do a wee kind of shrug. I think the kids could probably model that quite well. Can you give me a wee shrug and go, so what? So what? Thanks, that was great. Not that I want to teach your kids to do that. Some of you will be saying, no, my teen does that enough. Thanks, don't teach them it. So that means that when I talk, And I have experienced this because I do move a lot amongst mums and children in particular. We have about 100 families who use this building through the week two or three ministries actually. And they don't come to church and they're quite grateful that we have the building and facilities that we run. But really, they would say to me, Jesus, so what? You know, nothing to do with me. It's great. Good for you. That line, that's good for you. But so what? I'm fine. This is postmodernism. Society today is really consumer-driven. You don't need me to talk an awful lot about this. But I just thought for a wee second about the choice. We were watching the 25th anniversary of The Tube. Some other people in here watched that. We know some other people saw Bono singing. Amazing. But prior to 25 years ago, children, listen to this, there were only 3 channels on TV. Only 3, 25 years ago. And now I can't even count the number. But the other thing, guys, think about this fragmentation. And I hadn't thought of it till I looked at the schedules. Not only are there countless, but they're so segmented. So you've not just got CBBC, you've got CBeebies for your under sevens. And then if you're into cartoons, you've got Nickelodeon. If you're into cars, you've got Men in Motors. If you're into shopping, there's about 5. And I don't even have satellite or cable. I've only got Freeview. We segment everything. Segmentation everywhere. Fragmentation everywhere. Cereal. I remember there was only 4 kinds of cereal you got. And in my house, 3 of them were cornflakes. You know? And there was maybe Rice Krispies, and that was it. There are 2 aisles in Tesco of cereal. And I happen to say, if I've been in North America, there's even more cereal kinds. Bottled water, you know, for me, this kind of marks out what it's a bit like. So there's choice, 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 choice. Okay? A lot of us probably say to our kids, what do you want for breakfast this morning? I say, I never really got asked that. It was, there's your breakfast. Now, I don't want to kind of diss all of this stuff. And that's quite important to hear what I'm saying. Choices are important. We actually need to teach children how to make choices. We can't make the choices for them, okay? Because if we do that, then they're not going to have the skills when they go to school or as they operate with folk outside of our family. So we do need to teach children decision-making. I just want to make that quite clear from my triple P parenting course. But it's so fast-paced. It is incredibly, we rush everywhere. Now people don't just drive, but they drink coffee, they make phone calls when they drive. Our kids, and this is something that actually has been disturbing me a little bit, our kids have 2, 3, 4, 5 outside school activities. If you do a wee audit in your head for a moment, those of you with teenagers, and actually the older, sorry, it used to be it was mainly teenagers, but now 6-year-olds, I know 6-year-olds with 5 things after school. We push things in. We schedule meetings, those of us at work, breakfast meeting, lunch meeting. And I hesitated about kind of writing this, but I think you'll accept it in the spirit in which it is given. Multitasking has become a power to envy, to desire. Come, power of multitasking. I actually think that that is something that we say is good, that we see in other people. But I felt that God revealed to me today that that was not a power that he wanted us to have, that he wanted us to have Holy Spirit power. So I've got a question for you guys in your groups just now. And you're going to have 5 minutes. Let me just read it for those who can't read. I've still no monitors. Is that a problem? Who do you feel led to witness to just now as families or as an individual? I'd like you to turn to people around you and to discuss with your family group or those around you who you are speaking to about God, praying for about God. Now, I felt actually that this would be new for some families to do, that you've actually never had the time for mum to say to the kids, this is who is on my mind, who I pray for, who I witness to. You might need to explain what you mean by witness, okay? And if that's something that you do anyway, my family happen to be involved in an outreach to families at the moment, so I'm not being in a position of superiority. I'm just meaning that at the moment, it's current for us that we're doing this every week. So I felt we needed 5 minutes. Kids, can you tell your parent or guardian or another adult might join your group who's not in your family? Can you tell them? So hear me really clearly. Who have you got at school or a friend and you'd like them to know more about Jesus? And you worry about them and you're concerned for them. Can you tell your grown-up? You might not have done that before, but they want to hear that. So I have to give us less than 5 minutes, actually. So about 3 minutes, go.